One of the most interesting experiences I've had is when I have an experience of something I thought I knew about and realized I was wrong. In some of what Gary was just, no, actually it was, I don't remember who, someone tonight was speaking about, oh, the butt-hurtedness, that when you have this experience, you are naming what another person's experience is with you, and rarely, if ever, is what you're experiencing and you're thinking they're experiencing the same. I'm a big fan of humility in that way, of paying attention to, well, this is what it feels like, but I don't really know what it is. Or I'm open to what it might be, which is different. Because some of the invitation tonight and over these last number of weeks, and David magnified it this Monday at Full Self-Emergence, he was speaking about take off your the words to Moses, take off your shoes, for where you stand is holy ground. And, you know, that's a nice biblical quote. I don't even know if it's nice, but it's a biblical quote. And if you don't take those words to indicate that who you are and where you are standing is the revelation of who you are as a being, it just becomes, well, Moses was important. Or it becomes a story about, I am a God being, but if you don't know what that means and you don't have some relationship to the revelation of that, it just becomes a great imaginary story. I saw a quote on Facebook about religious wars are about two different entities fighting about their imaginary friends. That your image of God and my image of God is somehow important to defend. I, in the service prep, was addressing a little bit, because Rud mentioned it, the video that Samuel Erloh put on Facebook about the women and children that were being ushered by the guys in the army, slapping the women in the head. And I stopped watching the video because I was pretty certain I knew how it was going to end, and I knew I couldn't handle watching it. And it's unfortunate how much it affected my morning, because it was just sitting in my body that I have a feeling I know what's going to happen. I can't watch it. And you know what I realized? Like, I was feeling grief, but what I was aware of was I was really angry. I was really angry that that was happening. And instead of being angry, I was just crying and sad and like thinking, oh my God, those poor children. I mean, these were two-year-old children and infants. And so it's the misunderstanding of even what's happening with me. I'm standing there thinking, well, I'm just a tender-hearted woman. No, I'm an angry woman. And if I can't stand on holy ground and let my anger be owned by me, it doesn't mean I have to throw it out there. But if I've been playing the game that when I'm angry, I'm sad, I don't know what's happening. And I'm not trying to say that, I mean, we all know that women are supposed to not get angry and men are not supposed to be sad. So when women are angry, they start crying because it's the only way they feel safe being angry. And when men are sad, they get angry. It's something lots of studies show about. It's good for men to look angry but never cry. And it's good for women to cry but never look angry. It's part of our culture. But that's big time old form. David mentioned in the expansion on Sunday, I was talking about the power of hospice, where hospice is urging you into what's happening so that you can let go of what's leaving. And he mentioned we really also need an undertaker. And even though Jeff and Gary were talking about building upon old forms, there are times where old forms really need to be no longer talked about, you know, put in the ground, say thank you, but that's not what my life is about right now anymore. Or that has to be over for me to show up. If I'm going to stand as if I'm on holy ground and be a being of strength and clarity, I cannot be holding on to the things that are dead. And there are parts of me that I'm holding on to that have been trying to die for years. So I want to do first in consciousness a demo, and then maybe a physical one. So in what's been discussed tonight and what I've been working with internally, it's this experience of friendship. So we have friends that we care a lot about, and we create a dynamic where if Jeff was speaking about this beautifully, if I'm willing to be vulnerable and let myself be with another person, you think if you say enough, do enough, the person really knows you. And so you feel like you have this wonderful dynamic where nothing bad can happen. Let's just all take a little laugh on that one. You know that there's enough between you that it'll sustain you, as if there'll be no pain in the transformation. But I'm going to call up some people for props. Rachel, Uma, Celia, would you mind coming up? You don't have to if you don't want to. Oh, you're going to, I want you to be up on this. So in my life, I have this longtime friend. She's known me since we were 10 years old. She knows all my weirdnesses. She has seen me break down. She's seen me fall in love. She's known me, and I feel like there's absolutely nothing I could reveal to her that would make her leave me. This is my longtime friend. This is my business partner. We were so in agreement, we decided to start a business together. We didn't even think we needed to write anything down. Yeah, I've done that too, Noel. But this is like that clear, we think alike, we're visionaries. We have the most imaginative conversations. We spark off each other. We really know that the world is our oyster. You know, that there is so much magic here that the world's going to be transformed just because we love each other in this way. Here's my spiritual elder. This is the person who has taught me so much about what it means to be a God being in the flesh. She has been three steps ahead of me. She has guided me when I've been lost. And I look to her as a reference when I'm emerging, because I've seen her do it. She's loved me while I've made all these mistakes. And here she is, watching me. So here I am. All this stuff's going on in me, and I'm going to emerge into something that I don't know how it's going to look. I don't know who I'm going to be. And guess what? That's happening for them too. So we're all holding this, and when I say on three, all of you just take a step in some direction. Okay. One, two, three. Everything has changed. And I made this, and I'm looking over at my elder. Did I do the right move? I'm looking at my business partner. Is she going to leave me? Are we going to go down the tubes? I'm looking at my best friend. Are we still together? One, two, three. Oh my God, I can't even see my best friend anymore. And the spiritual elder's taking over the microphone. And my business partner's looking for another business partner. That's the interpretation of how uncomfortable I just got, because three of my friends moved, and I moved, and it doesn't look like it did before, and it also is very painful because it's not only unfamiliar, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be okay. I don't know if it's all going to keep moving in the creative cycle. Does that make sense? Has anybody else had that? Well, I'll tell you my experience. Well, the reason I do that is, for me, I'm a visual person. And when you see that, it's like, oh, yeah. For me, it's like, oh, yeah. It's not just the imagination of my mind trying to figure out how this all works, that happens all the time. That there is a shifting in a pattern. We've got how many people here just in this room? Everybody stand up and change your chair. You don't have to do this. Although it helps. It changes your perspective and it lets you know, well, I didn't see that before. It's essential to be standing in what you know. Adam has said this. I know it's a simple thing, but when he said it to me, said it in some situation, it just really dawned on me that very rarely do people say, so what are you feeling? They might say, what do you think? But hardly do they ever say, what are you feeling? Or as Barbara often says, what just happened? We don't pay attention because we have been trained to be nervous about change. We have been trained to stay with what will make us feel secure when the most secure thing is to keep moving, to keep emerging. And, you know, I'm saying that with a certain amount of my own, oh, really, Jane? Because, you know, there's still parts of me that get terrified about stepping into the unknown. I don't know what it'll feel like. I don't know where you'll go. I don't know a lot of things. And in the story of Moses, what David spoke about, we all know the story. Moses asks, after he's had that experience with the burning bush and standing on holy ground, God says to Moses, go down to Egypt and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And so, does anybody remember what Moses says? Who shall I tell him sent me? And the smart aleck Lord said, tell him I am sent me. I am sent me. And then Moses comes back again and, you know, says something else. And he says, tell them I am that I am. And I say it's a witty answer to the fact that Moses had to own his own voice. He didn't really want to do it, and he wanted someone else he wanted his business partner, his best friend, and his elder to be the ones to take responsibility for the message. As we allow ourselves to emerge, as I just demonstrated, you know what we're saying to the world? Let my people go. Let them break away from these forms that no longer serve. Let them go. We're saying it to the part of every friend that is holding on to them in a form that is dying, so that we might emerge and be set free. Can you look at your friend? I mean, it might sound weird, but just to say, let Gary go. Saying it to the part of Gary that's not letting him be free. We can say that to anybody. Let this go. Keep coming. The one who's trying to emerge, keep coming. It's worth it. Your genius, your spirit, the particular gifts you have to bring, the way you love will be revealed. So I'd like to thank my company, my fellow actors, as we all take the bow. Thank you for a wonderful evening, and I hope it's my desire that there is comfort in knowing that this is how it works, because we are fortified by the truth. We are strengthened by the truth. And I'm not speaking about this as Jeff said, I'm not trying to convince you to believe in me, because I can tell you I still work with it all the time. But I can tell you I know it's true. And I have survived many iterations of myself. You know, people do all kinds of past life work. I have enough past lives in this particular incarnation. Like who I was, and I'm not just talking about being a cheerleader in high school. I'm talking about who I was last year. That person is no longer with you. Thank you. Let's have a good rest of the evening.